All right, this weekend, Marjorie Taylor Greene went on a podcast, and I want to show you a couple of these clips, her talking about the Epstein files and Donald Trump. Obviously, Donald Trump, Marjorie Taylor Greene had a huge fallout over this issue. And I find this very interesting because although it often feels as if Donald Trump is politically invincible, he is not. And for the first time really ever in his political career, some of these cracks are starting to form within the party. He usually has such good control over everybody, and still in some ways he does, but it's not the same, right? You see Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's done, she's out, she's tired of Trump, but she still has like a voice. She hasn't been, you know, sent away essentially. Because normally when you go against Trump, like no one listens to you anymore. But she's still fairly popular. Thomas Massie is still fairly popular. Obviously, there's state legislators around the country, like in Indiana, who wouldn't redistrict for Donald Trump, and they still have a place in the party. And that's unique. And so I want to talk about this. First, we're going to start with this clip from just the other day. And obviously, I think we should take all of this with a grain of salt because Marjorie Taylor Greene is still Marjorie Taylor Greene, right? She was key with a lot of the conspiracies around the election, January 6th. I think a lot of this is for her own personal gain. But I do find this interesting. So let's start with this clip.
Pam Bondi, she serves at the pleasure of the president and his administration. And those there are telling her, here's who you can prosecute. No, don't do this. I mean, they told her that the Epstein files, that fight to release the Epstein files came directly from President Trump. And I know a lot of people have a hard time with that, but that is the truth. He fought the hardest to stop these files from being released. And the only reason that he signed our bill that we passed in the House was because he had to. It became a massive political problem. Biggest political miscalculation in Donald Trump's career was calling this a hoax, fighting the release of it, and having Mike Johnson, the speaker, refuse to bring the bill to the floor, to the point where Thomas Massie, myself, Nancy Mace, and Lauren Boebert actually had to vote with all of the Democrats to get it released.
So here's the thing, right? First of all, again, I want to say Marjorie Taylor Greene, I don't trust her. I think she's very calculated. I think she's very self-serving. I think she's preparing to set herself up for a Republican Party post-Trump. I don't think anybody should trust her and should not forget that she has been such a key player in all of the conspiracies, all of the MAGA conspiracies, the worst of those conspiracies. However, this will be the one thing that Marjorie Taylor Greene has said, especially at the end, that I agree with. The one and only time a broken clock is right twice a day. It was a horrible miscalculation from Donald Trump politically. He felt like if he called it a hoax, everyone would move on. And they didn't. And also, again, this has ignited new conversations around the things that we know about Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein. It is crazy that there are still people willing to defend this. It's unthinkable. Take a listen to this.
Spoken to a number of sources who saw Donald Trump at the parties. Most paint a similar picture.
Just describe to us the way Donald Trump behaved at these parties.
I mean, this guy was, it was like a predator in action.
I went to the washroom and I was going in and a girl was coming out and she kind of looked at me and I go, have you talked to that Trump guy? And she goes, yeah, as I was walking by, he's like trying to grab my ass.
We do know that he was having sex with them.
How do you know that?
Because the next day or days after we'd hear about it, he'd brag about it to his friends and it would get around that he scored, you know, maybe one or two girls at a time, which is what he loved to do.
There's no evidence that Donald Trump slept with underage girls. But what's most shocking is the age of some of the models at the parties.
There was girls, I would say, 14, 15 years old, from Europe, the European girls.
They were 14 or 15?
There were girls that were 14, 15 years old, for sure. I mean, I didn't run up and say, how old are you? But they looked younger than I was, and I was 17. You just knew.
Wow. I mean, that it's striking. It's sickening. I have no idea. With information like this, videos like this, I'm going to show you a couple from this documentary. But, you know, clips like this and all the information we have and all the ups and downs, if that's even the best thing to call them, just the back and forth, I should say, with the Epstein files, that everybody is not appalled, right? They're a hoax. They're not a hoax. They exist. They don't exist. They're on my desk. Never mind. Let's stop talking about it. Okay, we'll release them, but only some of them. It's crazy. I'm going to get to more news, very recent news, about some of this cover-up from the DOJ, because they're supposed to tell Congress about the redactions, and they're trying to muddy the waters. We'll get to that in a second. Take a listen to this.
In the back and hearing the chaperones say, ladies, listen up. We've got someone that's going to come in and see you. Make sure you're at least covered up. All of the girls were changing, getting their bras and underwear on and getting ready to put on their opening number outfits.
So when Donald Trump walked in, there were women in there who weren't fully clothed?
Correct. Women were not fully clothed when Donald Trump came in.
And some of those women were, what, as young as 15?
Yes, 15 years old.
15 years old.
Bri Pilling was a young model in New York. She first saw Donald Trump at a party in the late 80s. She's never spoken publicly about it before.
He said, how old are you? And I said, 17. He goes, oh, great. So you're not too old, not too young. That's just great. I remember one of the waitresses offered him a drink. He didn't take the drink, and he slapped her bottom. She was a blonde. He gave her a slap knee, and he was very loud. He's like, don't worry, that's not your tip.
Heather Braden also saw Donald Trump at model parties in the 90s. One was in Florida. At 23, she was one of the oldest women there.
I remember particularly seeing him at a party at a house in Miami. This particular party, there were four men and probably 50 models.
Four men and 50 models.
That's approximately what I would remember. And I was one of the models. I mean, I felt like I was in some, you know, I could have been very well being auctioned off in some sort of a sex slave ring. That's how I felt. I felt like a piece of meat in a meat market. You know, I mean, what else could I feel like?
I mean, I don't know. I no words, really. No words. The most cruel and incompetent, administration of all time. And the DOJ is covering this up. Right? Channel 4 News found emails in the latest Epstein file suggesting the DOJ release may just be a fraction of what exists, possibly only 2% of the material the FBI seized from his homes. 2%. Listen to this.
Channel 4 News investigation today reveals that all those pictures, emails, videos, and messages released by the Department of Justice, said to be over 3 million pages, may amount to just a fraction of the Epstein material obtained by investigators.
Why do we think that? Because these raids on Epstein's properties, his Florida mansion in 2005, and his fancy New York townhouse and sprawling luxury island in 2019, saw dozens of devices, computers, hard drives, and servers bagged and tagged and brought to FBI offices for examination. Now, emails examined by Channel 4 News show investigators discussing those very devices. From the earliest stages, investigators were talking about Epstein's data totaling many, many times what has so far been released. In June 2020, one wrote, "We expect the data to be somewhere around 20 to 40 terabytes," noting that the total capacity of the devices was up to 50 terabytes. Then as recently as last year, long after the investigations into Epstein and his associates had ended, the figures quoted remained massive. We're looking at a total of approximately 14.6 terabytes of archived data, said another email. To put that in context, it is almost 15,000 gigabytes. But now, a year on from that, the total data released, claimed to be some 300 gigabytes, accounts for just 2% of the total Epstein data that officials were discussing just last year.
And I mean, 15 terabytes of data is enormous. That is millions, tens of millions of PDF pages of documents, tens of millions easily. And we certainly do not have that much from the Department of Justice, right? They're spending time skimming through this, trying to get out of it politically, because these three that are agencies have been hyper politicized for the first time ever, we are seeing this, I would say, the largest expansion of executive authority in American history, point blank period. These three letter agencies have been filled to the brim with loyalists. And this is what we get. They do whatever is politically advantageous for Donald Trump. The DOJ continues to muddy waters by combining names in the files of, quote, politically exposed persons who were actually involved with Epstein with random individuals who were mentioned in unrelated ways. And then this is from Aaron Parnas. The Department of Justice has sent over a letter to Congress outlining why it made certain redactions in the Epstein files. The six-page letter also includes a list of all government officials and politically exposed persons in the files. So what they're attempting to do here is basically jumble a bunch of names together to make it more confusing. It's pretty clear, right? Because here's the thing. For example, if Jeffrey Epstein emails somebody about Elvis, Elvis is actually in this list of individuals, right? About Elvis, then Elvis is thrown in to this list. And so we're like muddying the water with people who are the DOJ attempting to kind of create more confusion. This obviously does nothing but create more confusion by adding names of people who have literally no association. Jeffrey Epstein could just be talking about that person in an email versus people who were directly associated with these individuals, right? And some of the names that we got from this list: RFK Jr., Jared Kushner, Nancy Mace, Benjamin Netanyahu, Cash Patel, Alex Jones, Elon Musk, Mike Pompeo. I mean, that's insane. That's insanity. And Marjorie Taylor Greene tweeting here, Pam Bondi and Todd Blanche sent a letter to Congress naming tons of people in the Epstein files. I want to be clear. This tweet from yesterday night as I record this on February 15th. So they sent a letter to Congress naming tons of people in the Epstein files, names that don't make sense, like Janis Joplin, who died in 1970, and all kinds of politicians, including those of us who fought the hardest to release the files, like me, Thomas Massie, Ro Khanna, and Nancy Mace. Supposedly, Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide in 2019. I ran for Congress in 2020 and became a member of Congress in 2021. My mentions in the files are basically stories unrelated to Epstein, like me criticizing COVID mask rules and COVID vaccine passports. Why are stories about my refusal to comply with COVID tyranny, Jesus Christ, and other news stories unrelated to Epstein about me listed in the Epstein files? What kind of files are the FBI and DOJ keeping on us? What is actually going on? And so, again, it's kind of a very clear indication trying to muddy the water here is with certain names. And now the MAGA goons, the people who still are defending this guy. I mean, true cult-esque people over here on Twitter, influencers, we see you all now trying to actually suggest, for example, Thomas Massie is in the Epstein files and trying to frame him. They're trying to frame someone like Thomas Massie. It's insane. We see some of these influencers getting burned by this logic. Catsherd saying, care to explain this, referencing Marjorie Taylor Greene, and somebody responding, care to explain this, and Catsherd technically being in the files. If you're familiar or not familiar, Catsherd is just this huge right-wing freak influencer. And again, another clip here I'm going to show you of Marjorie Taylor Greene talking about this. And I want to be clear here for the third time that Marjorie Taylor Greene is still a MAGA conspiracy theorist, even if she's not part of MAGA anymore. Like, this is not somebody who should be trusted. Everything she says should be taken with a grain of salt. Take a listen.
That's not an FBI form. That's not somebody calling in an anonymous tip or writing it on some deep, you know, dark place in the internet. That's an actual FBI file stating what happened. And people are going to have to completely take in what they are seeing with their own eyes, what they're reading, and what they're being told. The reality is the Trump administration is not releasing the information. And I got yelled at by the president over this. This is why he called me a traitor. He called me a traitor because I would not take my name off the discharge petition because I stood firmly and said, no, we're going to release the Epstein files. I'm standing with women who were raped as teenagers. I'm not standing with the government. I don't support the cover up of all of this stuff, whatever it may be. And the president got mad at me and he told me, and I've said this multiple times, he told me his friends would get hurt. And that's what he told me. And then we're seeing a continued slow walk and cover up of a lot of this information. And I know that is why. I firmly believe that that's why it is being covered up. Look, Pam Bondi works directly for Donald Trump. She is not out there an independent attorney general. She can't just run out and do whatever she wants. She works at the pleasure and approval of the president of the United States.
That is absolutely 1,000% true, especially, again, with this, I would argue, the DOJ independence for the first time, again, in American history, just completely evaporated, gone, eviscerated. These three-letter agencies normally day-to-day, so insulated from political pressure, at least at some level, no longer. Let me know what you think of this in the comments down below. What is her endgame? I don't trust her. I don't trust her, but she's not wrong about what she just said. And again, to make it clear, because MAGA, the MAGA infighting, we're all starting to get angry, people taking sides. Her claiming, as she has so many times, Donald Trump is the one who didn't want this to happen, 100%. I don't know if you've ever seen the meme. The worst person you ever know just made a great point. It hurts. It hurts. But I think she's right about this. Take a listen.
That fight to release the Epstein files came directly from President Trump. And I know a lot of people have a hard time with that, but that is the truth. He fought the hardest to stop these files from being released.
Yes. Yes, Marjorie Taylor Greene, he did. And lastly, before we end off here, again, MAGA having to twist themselves in circles, especially on Twitter, about this, about all the stuff we keep getting from the DOJ. This story not going away, not going away anytime soon. I say every time I make a video about this, whether it's here or on my channel, which, by the way, if you've made it this far, make sure you subscribe to me down below. My name's Chris Mallory. I do a daily show here on the Adam Ockler channel. But again, this has been talked about, or I say this every single time I record a video on this subject, the bravery and the courage that the Epstein survivors have shown in this. So, so, so inspirational. So inspirational. This is not going away anytime soon. And these influencers having to twist themselves all sorts of ways to make this work. OMG, I just got a huge shout out from Marjorie Taylor Greene on Steve Bannon's War Room. OMG, Marjorie Taylor Greene is on Steve Bannon's War Room. She's wearing a cat turd shirt. Again, this big right-wing influencer. Marjorie Taylor Greene for Speaker of the House 2022. We all have to get behind a primary opponent for Marjorie Taylor Greene because she's disobeyed the cult leader. I stand with Steve Bannon. I stand with Steve Bannon. And then the other day, Ketchert saying, I was always neutral on Steve Bannon. Didn't really care or follow his war room. Interesting. But now I've read the emails between him and Jeffrey Epstein. My God, it's so disgustingly bad. These people believe in nothing. They have no values, no morals. Let me know what you think of all this in the comments down below. I do read all your comments. Once again, my name is Chris Mallory, filling in for Adam Ockler. I do a daily show here on the Adam Ockler channel. So make sure you're subscribed to both me and Adam Ockler down below. And I will see you tomorrow.